Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I see churches, and not locations, but in people. And I believe that's where it is. That's how it starts. It's going to tie into my message today pretty well. But there's something in you. There's something great in you. We have an internship at this church that, and I believe that's what discipling produces in our life. As disciples of Christ, disciples of Jesus, we're shown the purpose, and it produces something in our life. But I believe there's something great in you. I believe it has to be discovered. I believe it has to be developed, and then I believe it can be deployed. And with our internship, what we do is. Man, we sign people up for a year and just help them discover and develop what God's doing in their life. And, you know, I think we're hiring a number of the interns this year. They're going to become GAs. GAs are going to become staff as the staff has grown. And that's essentially how we hire because it's different. There's a different set of muscles in ministry than there is in business, or there is in the law, or there is in sports, or other things. With ministry, you know, you might be an incredible businesswoman or a businessman or an attorney or whatever, but in ministry, it requires a different set of muscles. What ministry does, you wake up the next morning and, man, you're sore and you're stiff places that you never have been before. And I'm talking figuratively about us physically, but understand that has to be developed in all of us. That thing that's in us that's God purposed. You know, I know that, you know, God, I personally believe the way we parent, Sandy and I, is how we pastor. The way that this is an extension of our home. Y'all are an extension of our family. You know, that's why it's important for us that, you know, we document people that visit, because, man, we want to be there for you. You know, I met Tabitha when she was at Friday Groceries one Friday, and it was, and really honestly, she was desperate that day. And I'm not speaking out of school, but I saw this desperate, and she was desperate, and man, now you look at it, and every time I'm at church, I see her. You know, it started off, she was just in need of groceries and just help, but it turned into a family. And see, that's what God does. See, this is family. This is why church is different. I believe that's why there's such an onslaught from the world on church, because, man, the devil hates family. He just does. I mean, it's marriage, kids, the whole nine yards, and especially the church. The last thing the devil wants you to do is to raise your family up where the kingdom is operating. And I think it's important for us to realize and to understand where our treasure is. Because the treasure of our life is huge. And I'll tell you, mine, as we grow, as I'm developed in the things of God, as I develop as a man of God, my treasure shifts a little bit. And there's a shift in what I treasure in life. And I'll tell you, you'll find out what your treasure is where you put your money. The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also, is what Jesus said. Man, you're gonna find your heart. You wanna know where your heart is? Man, it's where your treasure is, what you treasure. You know, to make a home, you have to treasure your spouse, treasure your wife, treasure your children. Man, it's gotta be the nearest thing on this planet to you. And you know, the Bible says if a man can't manage his house, how can he manage the household of God? You know, there's no way you fulfill the purpose of God in your life unless you're truly fulfilling your purpose of God at home. And whatever shifts you have to make, whatever things you have to do, I'll tell you, honor is the biggest key. See, the world operates by respect, because the world, the currency of the world is money. The currency of the kingdom is faith. I've said that for 20 years. The currency of the kingdom, man, if you've got faith, and the Bible says it's a mustard seed, you have what you say. See, so you might say, well, I can't do that. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have enough money. I can't do that. I'm broke. I can't do that. I'm behind. That's the way the world thinks. That's the currency of the world. The currency of the kingdom, though, is trust. The currency of the kingdom is faith. And see, so the world operates by respect. And but see, the problem with respect is earned. You have to deserve, you have to earn respect. See, the kingdom doesn't operate by respect. The kingdom operates by honor. See, we honor God with what? Man, the first fruits of all of our, with everything in our life, we honor God. What honor is not earned. We don't deserve it. It's given. See, to be honorable, you just have to honor people. And you don't honor them because they deserve it. You honor them because you're honorable. See, so this whole thing, it operates a little bit differently. And it's not, these aren't plays on words. This isn't semantics. This is something where there's a shift in our mind. Where's your mind? Where's your mind going? If it's going to fear or anxiety, if it's going to depression, that's because you got your mind on the wrong things. Jesus, Paul even writes, man, set your mind on these things. Think on these things. And gives us a specific parameter on where our thought life ought to be. And you might think, oh, how do I do that? It's real simple. It's real simple. What the Bible says is to bring every thought into the context and subject to Christ. Every thought under the dominion of Christ. Every thought, you'll think, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Man, even science will tell you that each of us have over 25,000 thoughts a day. And I'll think, yeah, you know what? If I think about that in the totality, that might be a daunting task for me to bring every thought. But see, the key to think on that is that yet, even though you have over 25,000 a day, you have one at a time. And see, that's how this works. The world operates by one day at a time. The kingdom in your life operates by one thought at a time. What are you thinking on today? I'll tell you what you're gonna do. You're gonna start thinking hopefully today. I mean, we're gonna drive our thought life. We're gonna bring things under the submission of God's promise. And man, when that happens, man, this life comes alive to you. And see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring his life into yours in such a way. And the way he does it, the Bible says it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. God's gonna take it and just give you a soft toss. You know, to the point, it's gonna be such a soft toss that he'll just come and hand it to you. See, because, see, most people that I see, and I'm not meaning this judgmental, and definitely not critically, okay? So hear my heart on this. That in the Old Testament, the way it laid out is, and it was a type and shadow of what was to come. There was the outer courts. I believe that's where most people in church today live, is in the outer courts. And it's kind of, if you brought it, kind of like Buckingham Palace. Any guys ever visited Buckingham Palace? You don't get in. You get to go to an iron gate. You get to see the guard. You get to see the pomp and circumstance. You get to see all the pageantry. You don't get to see the queen, okay? You don't get to get in. But see, what that is the outer courts. So you experience this outer court deal that with God. And we experience this where we know about God and we know of God and we generally have a feel for God. But you know, there's a place inside the outer courts called the inner courts. And the Bible says that we get to these places through thanksgiving and praise, okay? So we enter in and we're thankful and we get to the outer courts. We get in praise and we get to the inner courts. And the inner courts, man, we get to truly experience God. Sometimes we even get to see him. See, the outer courts, we don't get to see him. We just have experienced it. We know about it. And it's just enough to get by. But see, the inner courts, you get in there and you get to see him once in a while. It's really not that relationship with him, but you know him better. You've seen him, okay? But there's a place that we could get, and the writer of Hebrews says, because of the blood of the Lamb, this place that we could go that is called the holiest of holies. And we get there by the blood of the Lamb. We get there by having gone through the cross, walked out of the tomb with him. See, that's real to me. I'll tell you what's amazing about my life in this is that Jesus made himself real to me months before I gave my life to him. And I'll tell you what I dealt with, why I kept stiff-arming it and I tried to avoid it for months because I knew my life had to translate through the cross. And I don't know how I knew. But I knew that my life had to go through this cross experience. And it's like, doggone, are you kidding me? I knew I was going to lose all my friends and all my acquaintances and all my habits and all my vices and all my, most of my habits were vices. And I had to, but everything, everything was subject to this. But I had to lay everything down, and then I had to pass through this cross. I knew that. I don't know how I could have. But it was so difficult. And finally, I just thought, that's it. And I think some of you guys have heard the story that I was in a jail cell and I was standing between the drunk and the drain and thinking, man, life couldn't get any worse. And then my feet are soaking wet and I'm thinking, dear God, it did. And I'm telling you, at that point when I thought my life can't get any worse, you know what my thought was? I'm giving my life to Jesus. That's it. That's it. And I mean, then, but somehow I'd made up my mind. And you know what? I went to church the next day. That day, they let me out at 5 a.m. And a few hours later, I went to church and I answered an altar call. I was hungover and felt terrible. But you know, what happened was, is the preacher looked at me and pointed, and I was offended. I thought, who are you pointing at? Who are you looking at like that? You don't look at me like that in public. Okay, that was my mind. But he looked at me and he pointed and he said, look at me. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And somehow, listen, just like I knew that my life had to translate through that cross and there was nothing I could take with me, somehow I took that. Somehow that word seeded in my heart and I thought, oh my goodness. And I left there thinking I'm a new creation. And it sounds so weird because I had no idea what that even meant. I had no depth of revelation in it. I just knew it was real. I knew it was dynamic in my life. See, so now we look and we think, and you might be sitting here thinking, man, I've never had that kind of experience, or it doesn't happen for me that way. Today it's going to. Because what we're going to do is we're going to go to the story of Jesus from the very beginning of it in Luke, the first chapter. And then in the 26th verse of Luke 1, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. This might say to you, back it up. Here's a sheer translation for you, how it's going to work for you today. Now in the sixth month, which this is the fifth month, the angel, here angel is pastor, because an angel is a messenger of God, okay? So that's all I am today for you. Okay, I'm not your buddy, I'm not your friend, I'm a messenger from God for you, for this purpose, for this message today. Okay, a messenger, and instead of Gabriel, I could say Bill. It doesn't have the same kind of hit, but it's gonna work, okay? Was sent by God to the city, and we're in Tulsa, God took it, Sepulpa, or wherever else you are. But listen, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, they were engaged, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Listen to verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at what he said. Not what she saw, but what he said. There was so much weight. There was so much gravity on it. She was troubled with what he said. Not that an angel, not that Gabriel appeared in her, at her house, but by what he said. And here, then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is so powerful. I'm gonna bring it to your life and make it personal, and God's gonna take that soft toss, and you're gonna be able to catch it and tuck it and run with it and go score in your life. Anybody with me on that today? Man, it's time for you to start scoring. It's time for you to start winning in your life. And this gives you that. This is the recipe right here. It's this simple. We're gonna take this, man, out of a context. Mary was as normal as you are. Yeah, she was great amongst women. Why? She was faithful. God saw her as faithful. Man, there's so many faithful people. Joanna, Sandy, Kennedy, man, Kira, man, you're faithful people. You're in the same boat today. Man, and here's what happens. The messenger comes and says that you're blessed and you're favored among women. You're blessed among women, you're favored. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. His name will be Jesus. Man, the only responsibility that you have here, Mary, you got to name him Jesus. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Of his way of doing things, there'll be no end. Then Mary to the angel said, how can this be? Since I don't even know a man. Well, we all know that, man, you look at it, that situation, she's just engaged. They had never been together. And she's trying to do the math. Man, just think about Joseph trying to do the math. Think about Joseph's family trying to do the math on this thing. But see, you know what? What Mary did is she went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, this is great on the inside of you. Now think about this. Let's go back through. When I look at the word, there's things that jump out at me, and those are things where it's like, oh my gosh, I pay very close attention to. The two things that jump out at me in this situation are blessed and favored. That's what he said. See, the great thing about God is you might have heard preachers get up and say, hey, God can do anything. Because nothing is impossible for God does not mean God can do anything. See, the Bible doesn't say God can do anything. As a matter of fact, conversely, the Bible says God can't lie. The Bible says God can't change. God can't change his mind. He can't change. He can't lie. God can't respect you over somebody else. See, what's interesting is, Tom, is the Bible says God's no respecter of person. See, why? Because with God, he doesn't use respect. Why? Because respect is earned. Respect is deserved. God uses honor. Why? Because honor's given. So he's no respecter of person. You know what? Which means that if he's ever blessed anybody in an area that you need blessing, he is bound to his word that he has to bless you. See, that's who God is. See, there's no wiggle room here. The Bible says there's no shadow of turning. Man, the call that God put on your life, he will never rescind it. He will never take away. You can walk away from it, but guess what? It'll always be on your life. It'll always be with you. It will dog you. But see, you have to understand that looking at it, God will never pull it from you. I believe right now, I'm just gonna pause. I believe there's people in here today. There's people watching today that you're thinking, I've blown it. I'm disqualified. Can I tell you, and I'm telling you this from the mouth of the Father, you're not disqualified. You just got to get back. You got to get back in that stand of faith. You got to get back in the race that you're in. You run to win. And you've got to be about the things of God. You just got to be faithful to the God who loves you. And that's as simple as it is. One thing that hits me here is God created a moment. Listen, for Mary, for Joseph, but now for us. See, it's that same moment. That same thing. There's a fear that hits our life. It's like, wait a minute, God's gonna use us. Man, I've been asked 100 times, I'm sure Sandy's been asked at least that many times, did you guys see this when you started? No, it was 6 people. What do you mean? Are you kidding me? But I knew it would be something great. I knew somehow, I felt like we'd caught lightning in a bottle. It's like we're gonna design a church that doesn't have stigma, that doesn't have the politics, it doesn't have the keep out signs everywhere. So you know what everything about church was? Come as you are. So guess what happened? Different kind of people came. And you know what we started doing? We started celebrating diversity. Man, if there's people that have a prejudice or a bigotry problem with people, you just gotta get them here to Guts, because God will do something in their heart. Man, God doesn't play that here. But see, understand, man, just like Tabitha, man, single mamas come here and they're celebrated every time they come in. Man, your kids are celebrated every time they come in. Why? Because we're not just gonna tolerate children in this church. We're not just gonna tolerate poor people in this church. We're not just gonna tolerate people that are different than us. We're gonna celebrate those people. And man, let me tell you, people are gonna go where they're celebrated, not where they're tolerated. See, we've gotta let God move in our hearts. We've got to let God, we got to understand God's creating a moment for us here today. Man, it's a time that's going to change history. See, Jesus just didn't come in and change his, Mary didn't change her generation. She changed every generation that was ever going to come. I didn't come to just speak to my generation. Man, I came to fulfill the call that's on my generation. But you know what? But speak to generations that are to come. Man, to sons, to grandsons, to great, great. And let me tell you, and of his kingdom, the Bible's, listen, there'll be no end. See, Gabriel called her blessed and favored. Let me just tell you my working definition. Blessing. Your life is one of two things, and there aren't any other options. Your life's either blessed or cursed. And listen, let's not think about this like a witch doctor. Let's not think about this as mystic. Let's think about this practically. What a curse is, it's something that subjects our life, that compresses things, that's a load on our life and a weight on our life and pushes us towards hell, okay? It's a limit in our life. It's a lid that's in our life. Blessing, conversely, is the opposite. Listen, it goes like this, and it lifts our lives. It makes our life better. It lifts our lives and elevates us a la heaven, okay? So he said, blessed are you among women. He said, favored are you. What God's favor's on your life, you know what God's favor does? Is God's favor, you've got something in your life that's trying to lead your life. It might be sickness, it might be disease, it might be poverty, it might be depression, it might be anxiety, it might be poison ivy, it might be whatever. I just came up with poison ivy to stop the list because it would have gone on for a long time. But that thing's in front of you. And what favor does is it gets you out in front of that adversary or that enemy or that issue that you have in your life. So now Gabriel comes to Mary and he delivers a message that your life is fixing to get a lift and you're about to get out in front of everything in your life. And she's like, well, how can I have this? I've never been with a man. He said, Mary, don't overthink this. Anybody have that problem? Mary, just call his name Jesus. See, me fulfilling the call of God in my life is that simple. Gabriel gave her one thing. Call his name Jesus. You're gonna birth that baby. It's all gonna be natural. You're gonna have a son. You just name him Jesus. And you know what happened? All heaven broke loose on the earth. Man, hell didn't like it. The devil didn't like it. But guess what? She was just obedient to call his name Jesus. Just like with Mary, Matt, what God's gonna do in your life, he is always gonna bring his best into your life. See, God doesn't just give, you guys that are raised, some of you old timers thinking, man, God won't give you more than you need or won't give you more than you can handle. Would you quit thinking stuff that isn't in scripture? Can we go back to the Bible? God's a God of more than enough. God's a God of super abundance. That's how God operates. God's not doling things out with a tablespoon, okay? He's not backing a dump truck into your life. He is opening up the windows of heaven. There's an open heaven above your life when you put God first. Man, God always brings his best into our lives, always. And he's not bringing it like with an eyedropper. He is pouring it out in your life. I believe the way God does anything is the way God does everything. And what he does is overwhelms us with his goodness. How many of you guys have ever experienced the overwhelming nature of God in your life? That's all God wants to do. He wants to overwhelm you today. And God birthed all of this. It's perfect Mother's Day message. God birthed all of this through a mother, through a simple teenage girl, had never been with a man. Man, inexperienced, came into it going, oh my gosh, there are gonna be so many questions and I don't have any answers. What's going on? I'm gonna have a baby. Whose baby is it? God, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna call his name Jesus. Are you kidding me? What else are you gonna do? I'm gonna raise him. When he's 30 years old, listen to this. This is where the story goes. He's 30 years old, goes to a marriage feast. They run out of wine. Somehow Mary's in the loop. Mary told the people in charge, said, listen, go to my son and just do whatever he tells you to do. She just kept it simple. Jesus is hanging on the cross. There's his mama right there. His mama looking up at her son, thinking, you know, and he was unrecognizable. His face was so bruised, his body was so torn. She couldn't recognize her own son hanging on that cross. And he looks down, he's hanging there. He looks down, he sees John. He said, John, this is your mother now. Take care of her. He said, my time's done with her. You take over. I mean, this was so personal for Mary. And it all started just because she was obedient. Listen, to call his name Jesus. Put him at the top of the house of Jacob forever. The throne of David forever. And what the angel promised is, of his way of doing things, there will be no limits. There are going to be people in a couple thousand years sitting in Tulsa and Skytook and Sepulpa. And you know what they're going to be thinking? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what? I've got some weaknesses and I've got some deficiencies. See, that's what science will do. Man, science will take you right to your weakness and right to your deficiency. And you know what? Give you an excuse. But you know what God does? He replaces our weakness with his strength. To the point with the revelation that Paul had is he said, I would rather be weak and have God's strength than to be strong in my own volition. Oh my gosh, when life becomes that weakness isn't an excuse anymore, that deficiency isn't an excuse anymore, but now in my weakness is made his perfect strength. Man, it changes the way I walk. It changes the way I run. It changes the way I live. It changes the way I think. I'm telling you, I'm bullheaded. I'm strong-willed. I'm stubborn. And God has gotten through, he's gotten through all of it into my life. I'm submitting every part and parcel of my life. I'm submitting just allowing, I'm going all in with this and I'm doing it every single day. You know why? This Jesus stuff is real. Just call his name Jesus. The name above all names. And God's got that miracle for you today. God's got something on the inside of you. Just like you come up to Mary and you say, Mary, who's inside you? She'd say, Jesus. I'd say, Matt, who's inside you? You say, Jesus. You know what? As soon as that happens, you're blessed and highly favored. You get out in front of every adversary, every enemy, everything that you face in life. It's all wrapped in this one simple, small, so many more things in the Word, in this one simple story in the Word. Puts me above and out in front of everything that wants to bring me harm, everything that wants to slow me down, everything that wants to stop me. Do you understand? You just listen to my voice today. You're taking this in. You're unstoppable. You can't be defeated. You don't give up. You win. That's the inheritance that God's given us. And just finally, I'm just going to tell you, you're joint heirs with Jesus. The inheritance that Jesus gets, I get. Nothing more, nothing less. But because of that inheritance, guess what? The things that he did, I'll do. But greater because he goes to the Father. This is amazing, guys. I'm telling you, but it's so simple. Just call his name Jesus. Don't overthink it. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't get caught up in all the distractions. Just call his name Jesus. And let what's on the inside of you discover that, let it be developed, and then deploy it. And I'm just telling you, nothing will be able to stop you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.